Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening each and every week. If you want to see what we do each and every week, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. You can see this as well as hundreds of other shows that we've done over the last seven, eight, 9 years. We talk about the mortgage industry in a way that tries to inform you so you can make better decisions. There's a lot of information out there that you just have to sift through if you're doing it by yourself. Tune into the show if you want to see our five radio stations. Listen to our five radio stations in three different states. You can do that. Albuquerque, Las Vegas, Nevada, Southern California in the Inland Empire in the IE, and of course in Tahoe in Central California. All of these places and radio stations that we're on, we've been on for a number of years. We love our radio stations. We also love our podcast, and we're on several of them. John, you got to list a couple of these things. I know it's Stitcher. I know it's Spreaker. I know it's Apple and Google and
Spotify. And Odyssey and just all of those. Plus podclips.io.
Okay, podclips.io, another great place you can see not only what we do each and every week, but there are a number of different ways that you can listen to podcasters. This way you can go to podclips.io and hear a whole bunch of them, see a whole bunch of them. All these things equal one thing. Information is out there for you in The Mortgage Voice. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, that's me. Thanks for listening to the show. Okay, in thinking about what I was going to talk about today on the show, there are so many things that are occupying people's minds nowadays, and so I wanted to bring John in just for a second to ask him, in your sphere of what you do on a daily, what unnerves you that you can't do what you're trying to do? Like, is it your family? Is it job-related? Is it the traffic? What unnerves you?
Just time, not having enough time in the day.
Right. I
mean, it's like, you know, we all have that 24 hours. We've heard that. That's all we got. And it's like, what you do with that 24 hours, and now that 24 hours costs us a little bit more than it did because of inflation. And so, yeah, you know, I'm kind of running out of daylight.
Okay. Now, a lot there, right? The inflation obviously is number one on most people's minds, and they don't think about who's to blame, more or less about how do we change it and get, you know, back to whatever it was. And I totally understand that. I have many things that unnerve me, whether it's my family or whether it's, you know, like I say, the traffic, certainly inflation, all these type of things. When you're a homeowner or you're somebody looking for a mortgage, you're somebody out there searching right now, one thing that's going to unnerve you is the price. The price is unbelievable. The price for the real estate, the price for the mortgages. Now, I was searching online today, as I do before every show, and look for the, you know, the best review of what's going on in the mortgage market in terms of the rates. You know, usually we quote average rates. Now, you can find at better rates if you've got better credit or you've got more money down. But in general, the rates are what you look for, and the rates are what we're trying to, you know, figure out is the best. But if you're a buyer right now, the price for things is unbelievable. We have seen, now these figures are not new, but they're certainly consistent with what's happened over the last 2 years, 20% this March versus last March. That's how much real estate prices have risen, 20%. Okay, you buy a $100,000 house, it's now worth $120,000. Okay, if you're a buyer at that price, great, because now if you were FHA, you can get rid of FHA. If you had any kind of insurance that you needed to pay, mortgage insurance, you can get rid of it. However, nobody's buying anything for $100,000, not around here. I mean, not in many places that this particular show reaches, whether it's any of these great cities and places that I've mentioned. Certainly in Southern California, forget it. Albuquerque, we had the guest on a couple weeks ago talked about $350,000 is the average price down there, up $100,000 in the last 2 years. Not in Central California, if you can forget that number. And certainly not in Las Vegas, although Las Vegas is one of those cities that always seems to come up with some lower-priced homes, but not really. Oh, and as an aside, back in 2010, Vegas prices were minuscule compared to what they are today. The crash happened, Vegas crashed, all the housing that was being built was, you know, not being built. And so the units, i.e. the condo units, I had a chance to buy a $25,000 condo in Vegas, one bedroom. $25,000. You know who talked me out of it? You're right. My wife talked me out of it. And I'm thinking, why? We could have afforded $25,000. And anyway, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. There's plenty of us. And that's the another thing that unnerves me, is the things that I don't take advantage of. So let's talk about today's real estate market and what experts are saying to do about the market. Just said it rose 20% in a year. So within 2 years, probably 30, 35% in 2 years. In most of the places that this voice reaches, that's where we are. So I don't know. Anybody watch you? You watch Shark Tank, John?
I've watched it here and there, but not recently.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the and I can always ask this question. Who is the most famous real estate person that you know?
I was going to say most famous person that I know of is Mark Cuban, but I don't think he's really made all of his money
on
real estate.
He's not a real estate guy. On that show, there's a person from New York, Barbara Corcoran.
Oh, Barbara. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. She's the big real estate person.
Big real estate. And Shark Tank's been on for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Long time. And I've even seen locally here in Southern California, that's where we're broadcasting from and where I live, Corcoran Real Estate is now out here. So this is now a brand, a national brand. I don't know if it's her behind it, or they just rented her name to splash on real estate signs all over. Anyway, Barbara Corcoran is a huge name in real estate. And I'm going to quote you what she says about today's market, because I think it's important to understand where people, at least leaders in the industry, where they're coming from and what they're talking about. She says, I think you got to get in the game. She's right about that. However, and this is what always makes me irritated about people who have say, and people who are loaded. This woman is loaded. I mean, everybody on that show is a billionaire, probably. She says, also, you have to get in with whatever house you can possibly buy. So you have to get a chip to play in the game and trade up and trade up and trade up. So her whole idea is you buy in whatever it is and you keep moving up, get a bigger and bigger house. Now, this is traditionally what people have been doing, you know, whether it's the step-up market, the step-down market, and you're constantly trying to move your real estate into other. That's not how most people are. Most people want to buy something so that they don't have to pay high rents, so that the mortgage they pay actually gives them some equity after a few years. Now, this particular type of equity, 20% a year, will never sustain. Never sustain. And the reason it won't sustain is nobody will be able to buy a house if it continues like this, because they're not building them anymore. As a matter of fact, I think we talked last week or the week before about how the big builders, whether it's Aspen or whether it's Pulte or whether it's KB or any of these large real estate developers and home builders, are really pulling back the reins on it a little bit. Why? Because they don't see, with higher interest rates, the demand that they need to see to build huge tract homes like they were building in 04, 05, and 06. They just were rolling them out. They didn't even care because they knew the money was cheap, and they knew the mortgages that were being provided for the money that was cheap were really unchecked. So unfettered capitalism was let loose in those years, and that's what drove the market. However, since that time, there is a much more conservative approach, i.e., buy it and they will come, right? Buy the house and they will build it. That's not the way it was. It is the way it is now. We won't see large influx of homes. We just won't see it. If we see the foreclosures happen on those continued million and a half, 1% of the homes that are out there, homes that are still in forbearance come to market, that'll never happen because the big banks will swallow them up. They'll be sold to private developers in order to rent them back to you. So the thing that gets to me always, price is going up, choice is going down, and experts who we're supposed to talk, trust, I can't tell you how many people watch Shark Tank and Barbara Corcoran, and when she, her name pops up, everybody goes, what does she have to say? Well, what does she have to say is, get in the game. That's great. I'm making $18 an hour 40 hours a week, $46,000. I live in Los Angeles. I live in Albuquerque. I live in Las Vegas. I live in the Inland Empire. How am I going to buy anything for those prices? You're not. So let's get to some solutions. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we bring to you terrific guests. One of the things about Malibu Funding is if you miss something on the show, you can always go to our website, themortgagevoice.com. On that website, you have past shows, archive shows. You can, if you missed an interview or you want to hear somebody again, you go there, look up the show, and bang, you can hear it and hear it again. And when you get to the site, make sure you click on the little, hey, I want to join, or hey, I want to hear it again. The reason is that the more people know where this is and the information that's out there, the better it's going to be, because the information is fresh, it's clean, it's what you need to know, and we're not trying to sell anything, but we're going to give you a great explanation as to what is going on in the mortgage industry. Now, there's a ton of products out there. And we always try to give you the, you know, the information that supplies you with the best opportunity to make the best choice. I was talking the other day about reverse mortgage with a client, and they were just set against it. They were set against it for many reasons, mostly because of what happened back in the 80s. Now, it is not the 80s anymore. It's a long time from there, and the reverse product has really helped many, many, many people in the retirement years. Really sort their finances out and really do some great estate planning. With us, Nina Penny, who's been on the show several times to talk about that. I'm very happy to have her back again. Nina, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Okay, you heard my brief introduction about this client I had. There's still resistance out there. It baffles my mind, especially with what's going on. Now, her son called me and said, hey, look, my mom is, you know, in her 80s, she's very reluctant about the reverse mortgage product, but she's open to talking to you about it. What do you say to people who have that kind of built-in resistance because of something that happened 40, 50 years ago?
You know, the misconceptions of the reverse mortgage is something that we've been struggling to overcome for years and years. Most people think of it as the reverse mortgage from the 60s, 70s, and part of the 80s. The first thing I ever do when I'm doing a presentation for folks or I start discussing reverse mortgages, I like to give them the history of the reverse mortgage, you know, when it started, what the purpose of it was, you know, who were the players back, you know, in the 70s. And you know, when the shift came during the Ronald Reagan presidency and how since then it's not your parents' reverse mortgage. One of my realtors loves to say that.
No, I like the way that sounds too. It is not, you know, and I'm of the age right now where I'm the older person in the room and people are looking to me for advice, especially in products like this.
Yeah.
And I always refer to people like yourself because you know you're the expert and have a designation both here with Malibu Funding, who you work with, but also nationally as one of the, you know, premier experts in the field. Give us your explanation as to what the reverse mortgage product can do for somebody who's looking to retire, not have an outlay in payments on a monthly basis, and the security that they might get from this product about not payment and the security about not being, you know, thrown out of their house.
Okay, so that's a lot to cover, but I
right.
think I remember
is.
Them all.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, Jeff, we now reverse mortgages go down to the age of 55. So, I mean, I think that qualifies for a lot more people. So you're no longer the oldest person in the room. Because now down to 55 we can go. All right? So, you know, a lot of people have concerns about losing their home. So the nice thing about reverse mortgage is that it's a non-recoursive loan. So, you know, you'll never owe more than the value of the home. So the market tanks, when you pass, you know what, they're not going after the heirs, which, of course, is one of the biggest misconceptions.
Right.
What reverse mortgages can do for you in retirement? Well, the only way you can increase your cash flow when you're on a fixed income is by reducing debt. Imagine if you had a mortgage payment every month of principal and interest $1,000, let's just say.
Right.
You do the reverse mortgage. We're going to pay off your mortgage first. So now you've just increased your monthly cash flow by $1,000.
Right.
And then let's say you use some of the other proceeds to pay off debt. You know, that is the only way you can increase your income. Now, let's say you don't have a mortgage, but let's just say right now, because values are so great and reverse mortgages, our rates are still great, you know, it can allow you to set up a line of credit
right
for the rainy days. And you know what? You don't have to use it. You don't have to take it. You can just open it up and have it there. They'll never close it like a traditional HELOC. It will always remain open. They can always tap into it. Once you close, they never cut it. So it'll be based on the appraised value of the home, not the future value of the home.
So the money that you can take out, does it increase in a situation like that over the years that your house price, the value of your house goes up? But if you had a product like this that had fixed amount that you could take out, does that stay the same? Can you adjust it? How does that work?
Well, so with reverse mortgage, we have fixed rates and we have adjustable rates.
Okay.
The fixed rate is a one-time payout.
Okay.
When you go to closing, they're going to cut you a check and it's one and done. Okay? On the other side, we have lines of credit. And the line of credit is actually the most amazing thing. You have interest accruing on the amount of money that you actually pull out. Okay?
Right.
Now, the amount of money that you have access to has what we call a growth rate tied to it.
Right.
So it's almost like the bank says, you're a great customer. We're going to give you an increase every month. Your money's going to increase every month we can tap into. And it falls in line with your interest rate on the money that you've used. So let's say your present interest rate on your reverse mortgage is 3%. Okay, well, actually, let's be realistic. I think right now I'm closing them at 4.1.
Okay.
So the amount of money that you're borrowing is 4.1. And the line of credit is also increasing your amount that you can tap into by 4.1.
That is a great product right there. And when you sit down and you talk, do you talk one-on-one? Do you talk to groups? I know you've got a great website and some other things that you're doing to educate the public. How is it that you're getting the message to people?
You know, it's just by meeting as many people as you possibly can.
Right.
And sharing it. And with real estate agents, it's introducing them to the product and how it can help clients double their purchasing power by talking to financial advisors, by just doing presentations on the facts.
Okay, so the product itself, I know that you have a different kinds of reverse products, whether it be reverse purchase, whether it be the two ways that you just... Are there other avenues by which you might be able to take advantage of this loan?
Yes. Well, we also have the traditional FHA-backed reverse mortgage, which is our traditional home equity mortgage conversion.
Right.
Okay? So it's the HECM. Now, but we also have proprietary products that other lenders have made up, and they hold them on their own books. And these actually have a better payout. So maybe... the interest rates are higher because the mortgage insurance is really kind of built into the rate.
Right.
Okay. So maybe the interest rates are higher, but you end up actually having access to more money.
Okay. So how does that work exactly? Who figures that out, and how does it explain to older customers who might not really understand it?
Well, you know what? To get involved with the matrix of the ratios of what each age qualifies you for,
okay.
I'll just say it's based on age, home value, and zip code.
Okay. And this,
okay.
These are national products, yes?
Yes, all 50 states.
Okay, so we have about a minute left. There's so many questions and so much about the reverse mortgage that you have knowledge of that I'd like to get to people. How do they get to you in order to find out more about this?
You can definitely call me. My number is 480-635-2410. Or you can email me at nhpenny@msn.com. My website is simplereversemortgage.net.
Oh, that's a great address. Reversemortgage.net. Is that new? How long have you had that site?
I've had that for many years. Simplereversemortgage.net.
Oh, it's excellent. Nina, thank you very much for coming on, explaining all this. We got to have you back soon before summer's out, just so we can get a catch-up as to what's happening, especially with the rates rising and how that affects the overall rate with the reverse mortgage as well. But we're running out of time. I appreciate you coming on the show again.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you very much. That's Nina Penny. She's a reverse mortgage specialist with Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you terrific guests, solutions, information about mortgages. If you want to see the show, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. You can see hundreds of shows there that we've had over the years. Go back in time, and if you see or hear a guest today, they're probably on our website several times. We try to bring back the same people as well as new people all the time. Why? Because familiarity, especially in the financial world, is something that gives people comfort. Comfort is what we're looking for in terms of working with people who have fear about money. Many, many people have fear about money, and they go to certain special people who can either relate to them or know something about their who they are. And trust is a big form of how we get, you know, doing what we do. And in order to do that, you have to have the right relationships. One of the guys that I've always thought had terrific way to get people to trust him, and what I mean by that is he's a very trustworthy guy in the financial sector, is Terrell Robinson. He is from TDR Financial. He's been on the show before. Talks about protecting your blind side, and he's an ex-NFLer, and he joins us now. Tex, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Thank you very much for having me on. Again, man, I really love being on your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you very much for saying that kind words always. We love having you on the show because you bring a perspective that we really don't get a lot on this particular show. Now, you do financial products and life insurance and a lot of things to protect people's financial wealth and to be able to provide for their retirement. Give us an idea of some of the products that you're currently working on, especially in the rate environment. How are you protecting people?
Absolutely. One of the things when it pertains to clients that are, you know, with their 10 years out and they're saying, hey, you know, I'm 59, 60 years old. I want to be done in the next 5 to 10 years. We have a growth and a income fund through the six index annuity sector. And the great thing about it, Jeff, is a lot of people don't know about this. Annuities have gotten such a bad name, but here's the thing. I looked at my clients over the last 7-8 years. They've been averaging 15%, zero floor, and then a lifetime income. And that's just off the income base of it. And then off the growth basis, averaging the worst years is 13% compounded. And you can put up to $2.5 million. So it's almost like a hyper IRA, hyper Roth IRA. And, you know, so now it allows you to put money into this index account, and you don't have to worry about losing any of your premium. And what I mean premium, ladies and gentlemen, and if you go from you put in a one-time lump sum of, let's just say, $100,000, we know that account is not going to go down to $99,999. It's protected against that. Who do you want to protect your financial blind side?
Okay.
And then the last thing is the infinite banking concept has been so powerful within our industry. And ladies and gentlemen, if you look up infinite banking concept, first thing that's going to come up, you've heard of a little place called Walt Disney. Walt Disney was turned down for a business loan. Well, his financial advisor was savvy enough to get him set up with the infinite bank through a whole life with a mutual company. And he was able to build Walt Disney from his infinite bank. That's amazing, Jeff. It really is.
Well, all of that is confusing as heck to someone as dumb as me. Now, when you get in front of somebody and they're, you know, they're smarter than me, but they need explanation. How do you get them to understand complex financial vehicles in a simple way?
Absolutely. So what I like to do is I like to take their 401ks. What are they not receiving for their 401ks that they would love to receive from their 401k? Most people, most Americans have a 401k if they work a traditional job.
Right.
For example, a lot of Americans tell me, man, I would love to have life insurance within my 401k or to be able to take my 401k with me and have protections around it.
Of course.
Number two, I would love to not be able to lose money in my 401k. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm laughing and just going, uh-huh. It's like you're at Sunday school. I'm just humming along with the preacher. Go ahead.
So then what I let them know as it pertains to the infinite bank side, let's take this. We've been taught, and we grew up, Jeff, hey, parents tell you, hey, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Go to school, get an education, get a job, get a pension, get a 401k, invest. No one has taught us to go to school. And you know what? If you don't get a job, if you don't, you know, graduate and get a job, become an entrepreneur. But the first thing we need to do is we need to learn how to become lovers of saving before we invest. And I tell my clients, if you do not know how to save, you do not have permission from me to invest. The reason being, the pandemic exposed everyone, businesses, entrepreneurs, et cetera. Why? It's because when a catastrophe happens, you need to be able to go to your savings. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because if you turn to your investments, the few things that's going to happen. Number one, the value that you grab from your investment is not the value that it used to be because guess what? It's taken a loss. Number two, you're going to receive a 1099 saying, hey, I have to now pay taxes on the money that I took out, and it wasn't for the full amount. And so that's what happened in 2021. People got 1099 saying, whoa, I have to pay taxes on the $50,000 that I took out. So if you would have had your savings set in place, there wouldn't have been no issues. Quick hand, bring it out, do what you need to do, survive, and go on from there. So I've been educating people on how to become lovers of saving first before they invest, because once we put a system in place, and Jeff, you know, life and business is about having systems in place that other people can follow. Once you put that system in place, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, once the system is in place, now you have permission to go invest. Let's say your Bitcoin goes belly up. Well, that saving system that we put in place is going to get you to your number that you want to be at, 65. So if Bitcoin goes belly up, you're still going to hit your main number. The investments is the gravy part, but the savings is the main brain right there. And so we have a way to where the client is going to yield some interest, yield some dividends, and have protections around it. So if anything were to come up or when they retire, they have what is called a lifetime income retirement and a tax-free retirement.
Now, what you do is, in talking like this to people in radio land, you're telling people you're having a bigger interest in them making sure that they're prepared for investment rather than just taking whatever they give you and investing it, which is a whole different approach. It's taking a holistic approach saying, hey, look, if you want to invest, you got to keep your investment for the time we've allotted. Therefore, you have to have savings in place for the rainy days. And there are a lot of rainy days coming right now.
That is absolutely true. And this is why, Jeff, people that don't have a lot of money, you know, if they're not rich or wealthy or whatever the case may be, so the ones that are investing, guess what, Jeff? They are investing emotionally.
Right.
If your savings is in place, if you have your savings system and vehicle in place, now you can remove the emotions from the investing. So, hey, so what? I just lost $10,000. Guess what? If I continue putting $300 a month or $500 a month or whatever the number is into my savings vehicle that is earning me interest and dividends, I'm still going to hit my number at 62 or 58 or 65. Now, the investing goes belly up. Guess what? It did not affect my savings or my number. Ergo, take the emotions away. It's just like playing blackjack. You know, you're playing blackjack $5 a hand. Now you're down $100. What do most people do? Now they're starting playing 20 and 25 bucks a hand.
Yeah, they want to get it back, of course.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, so
I show them how to take the emotions away from it.
It's excellent. Tell people how they can get in touch with you. You're a terrific guy and obviously somebody who's very trustworthy with people's, not only their emotions, but trying to get emotion out of investing decisions is a great way to look at it. How do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. They can reach me at area code 702-751-5865. Again, that number is 702-751-5865. And for those that are introverts, they can go to financialblindside.com, put in your name, your number, email address, and what is it that caught your eye or caught your attention, and someone will get back to you. And let's sit down. We're free consultation. I'm a non-captive broker. So what does that mean? That means I'm not going to charge you to sit down and chat with me and put a plan together. I work with Nationwide, Pacific Life, MassMutual, Mutual Trust, just to name a few. So I work with all the companies. So therefore, now you can breathe a little bit knowing that, hey, I do not have to pay this gentleman in regards to sitting down and putting a plan. And here's one other thing, Jeff, I really want to get. There is a way which has helped us become extremely successful is we show clients how to hit their number in regards to retirement for them or their children, hit their number without spending any extra money that they're already currently spending on a monthly basis. So now people are like, huh? So if your monthly expenses are $3,000 a month, your mortgage payment, your car, student loans, we go and find where you're overspending, and then we redirect traffic to you, the Wilson family or the Barton family. And our average client with a 30-year mortgage, $1 million in total debt, is debt-free in 9 years or less without spending any extra money that they currently already spending.
That is an awesome, awesome thing. Thanks for telling people about it. We got to go. I'm sorry we're up against it, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That's Terrell Robinson from TDR Financial. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we bring to you some of the most interesting people that I talk to in the financial world. Now, I'm one of these people who likes financial shows. I like to hear and read about real estate. We go to a number of websites. I watch a number of different programs in order to get up to speed on what's happening. For you, it's easy. You just come to where I am. And where I am, we're on a number of different podcasts. Probably we're on Spreaker and Spotify and what else are we on?
Apple
and Google and Podclips.io.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah. A whole host of them. And if you go to any of these places and look up Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice, you can see today's show as well as archives of many shows that we've done over the years. Click that you like it. Join up. Make sure that you are aware of what we're doing each and every week. We're also on Facebook and LinkedIn, Instagram, a number of different social medias. Although I'll tell you, one of the things in an earlier segment of the show, we was talking about what gets you, what sets you off and what gets you going. Healthcare. Okay. Anybody out there in the world of listening to this show who has somebody who's sick, somebody who's needs long-term care, somebody who is absolutely in need and takes you, your eye off the ball or whatever it is in terms of if you're trying to buy a house, you got to take care of somebody at home. It's really hard because you can't do both. I've had to go through it just a little bit. My wife broke her leg and yes, we're getting to it and we're almost at the end of it. And it really only lasted a couple of months anyway, but you can get the idea that it's very easy to get distracted from what you want to do. Now, we think, and I always think, that the real estate market is something you should be in if you can afford it and get into it. Now, we talked about, you know, people not making enough money. How do they get into that? Usually, and how it happens in a lot of different populations is a group get together and buy together and they build their equity and then they go off on their own, but they all still own and participate in the original. Usually it's family, so you have multi-generational people living in a house. That's a different situation. If you have a group buying a home and then renting it out, that's another situation. There's a number of loans like that, the DSCR loans, which are really investment loans for properties. when you are not able to really pursue what you have to do because you have health care and other issues of taking care of people at home, you really got to find a source, somebody who can just tell it right now, 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour, every week. That's this show. Make sure you tune in. And again, if you want, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, is also on YouTube. Very easy. You can find it. And that's it. Okay, so let's get to a little news to use section, and we try to get to that portion of the show where we just rattle off a whole bunch of news items and sometimes speak a little bit more about them. Okay, interest rates, 5.3% for the 30-year fixed, 4.78 for the 15-year, 4.78 for the FHA, 4.68 for jumbo, and 4.49 for the 5-1 ARM. The 2-year is at 2.5. That's the 2-year yield. So if you bought a bond, the 2-year yield is at 2.5%, and the 10-year is at 2.85. So there's a good spread there between the 2 and the 10, which is a good thing. We've seen rates actually come down in the last 2 weeks, which is sort of, you know, if we go back historically about 18 months, you would see that if we did have a rate hike of any type, we would then see a retrenchment. Well, that's kind of what we're seeing right now. We've seen the stock market, as everyone knows, implode a little bit. Now, when I say implode, it may be because we're really trying to readjust from the run-up to 35, 36,000. Now we're down, back down to 31, 32,000, which is really not that bad. If you consider in 2007, the stock market was at 7,300. It is now at 30,000. So if you got in at that time and bought an index fund, you're probably still doing pretty well. We had earlier on the show, we get people on the show who talk about more than just what's happening in the products in their particular company. Terrell came on and talked about what's going on in the retirement world in terms of how you can protect yourself long term. Most people don't want to work till they're 70, 75. I'm a strange person in that regard, in that what the heck else am I going to do? I always feel good if I'm doing something, whether it's at work or at home, always being busy. And so for me, working is a good thing. It always, as I said, builds self-esteem and makes you feel good about yourself, get up in the morning, get out of the house. But for some people, they do want to retire, and 65 is the magic number. Bing, you're 65, you want to retire right now. So getting to that point where you need to have information and advice about that. So we had Terrell on, and he talked about the insurance vehicles to be able to do that, and it was pretty good. Okay, let's get to some other things. Okay, in real estate, now we talked a little bit about real estate earlier in the show. Three places that with over the year that are the top three places in the country that increased the value of your home. John, what do you think of the third highest one? Give me a city, anywhere.
I'm going to say third highest would be San Francisco.
Nope, Miami, Florida. Wow. At 32%. Wow. 32%. What do you think the second one might be?
Well, I always come for home here in Los Angeles, Orange County.
No, it isn't. Phoenix, Arizona, 32.4%. Wow. Was dethroned from number one.
Was it really?
By the next city who was number one.
Oh, golly. See, I was wrong about L.A. So now I'm like, I'll say New York.
No, this one is Tampa Bay, Florida.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
It's just, when you think of cities that would increase in price, that city would not come up ever. My head. Tampa Bay?
Me either. Yeah.
Did Tampa Bay exist before Tom Brady went there and won the Super Bowl? Exactly. No, it did not. Of course it did. We love Tampa. We love our Florida people. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to get a radio station down there.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I really would. I think Florida is my kind of city. Not because, you know, I like the politics, but I've always gone to Florida. When I was a kid, we would fly from Boston to Fort Lauderdale and drive down to the Keys from there. It was great. And this is back in the 60s when you could smoke on the airplane,
right,
when the exits were three different exits. Everybody just kind of drifted away, and anybody could walk up to the plane. It was kind of an amazing time.
It
really
was.
Really golden time in America. It doesn't exist anymore, but those top three cities, as you can see, unbelievable. 30% or more in those cities that the price has increased over the last 12 months. Now, we are looking at the way real estate prices are going, and everybody is predicting that number to come down. And the reason is, obviously, the interest rates have gone up. But there's other reasons as well, and one of the reasons is if you can't have people buy at those prices and those increases in prices, you're going to have less and less borrowers, less and less buyers, and that in and of itself means that your supply and demand chart will show that you have less demand. So obviously the supply is going to increase, and therefore, in order to sell, you have to lower the price. Now, how much is it going to lower? I think people are talking more about it's not going to go up as much. Like, people, I think, are looking at 5%, 3 to 5% this year. I think that's low. I think it's going to be more like 7 to 12%, especially in hot markets that remain hot. If you live in, let's think about a couple of cities here. If you live in Charlotte, prices aren't going down in Charlotte. If you live in, like we just said, Tampa Bay, they're not going to go down there either. And one of the reasons in a lot of these cities is because they're retirement friendly. We've got a huge baby boomer generation that is looking to retire. As I talked about earlier, we brought Terrell on. Retiring is in the mind of, 40% of the population who is in that huge baby boomer era. So all of these people are looking for places, especially if you're living in high... You're living in a place like Los Angeles, that we talked about, or San Francisco, or Sacramento, or any place in California, certainly Seattle and Portland, and a number of other places where real estate prices are pretty high. You could sell the real estate in those places, move to some of these other towns, which aren't Columbia, South Carolina, for another a place where prices still haven't peaked. You can take the money out of your place here on the West Coast, move east, buy something cash, put money in the bank, and be very happy about that. Or take advantage of that reverse purchase. All of those sort of things really help in terms of your retirement, which, as I said, is happening. But let's see. What else? In terms of home prices, 30%. Unbelievable. Okay. And here's another article on MarketWatch. Another great place to go, by the way. We use Housing Wire. We use Mortgage News Daily. Certainly MarketWatch is another one. A lot of the real estate news and the financial news that you want to get, whether it's Barron's or Bloomberg, CNBC, is free. But a lot of it isn't. Now, they don't charge a lot, but, $1 to $5 a month, they still charge you for their financial information. MarketWatch is one of them. Highly unlikely that home prices will plummet. Five economists and real estate pros on what to expect home prices to do in 2022. We talked a little about that last year. That's just one of the headlines that catches us each and every week when we're trying to bring you information about what's going on. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. If you want to see the radio show on our website, themortgagevoice.com, go there, click that you like it, join what we're trying to do. You can see shows, you can see guests there, you can learn a little bit more about me and what I'm doing at The Mortgage Voice. It's a great place to circle the wagons and really decide for yourself what you want to listen to rather than just tuning in each and every week on the radio. TheMortgageVoice.com. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is our show. Okay, a couple of things. The oil bull run. Okay, so in commodities, what we often talk about, especially in the inflation era that we're in, is the cost of things that you have to continually pay higher and higher prices takes away from what you can spend on your mortgage. Now, when we get into the calculations, we don't look at what you spend on a monthly on your bills, your grocery bills, your gas bills. However, it is part of the calculation in your mind because you got to pay for these things. Case in point, I live in Southern California, $6.50 a gallon of gas. Now, anybody out there who's listening to this going, $6.50? You got to be crazy. Right. We are crazy in California. We spend about $1 a gallon just on taxes, not to mention other fees that are within. And we drive in this state. For me to get around, I'm 40, 50 miles a day easy, if not more so. And I would say most people out here are like that. Now, not all states are like that, but we are here in California. So any dollar I spend on my gas is a dollar I can't spend on my mortgage. And if you are, looking to buy in any of these places or any place that, we're selling real estate, which is everywhere, you have to look at not only your food costs, which have gone up, your fuel costs that's gone up, your insurance costs that's gone up, anything having to do with, what you do, whether you want to paint your house, you want to fix it up because you're trying to sell it, or you just want to remodel it, any of these prices, they've all gone up because lumber's gone up, nails have gone up. Any cost of your gardener in terms of his lawn equipment and anything else. A lot of cities are doing away with motor-powered lawnmowers or leaf blowers or anything else like that. And the reason why is because, look at that, people are calling right now. They're trying to get through, but they can't. I shut them off. People are trying to figure out the best way to live, and they're trying to do away with a lot of ways that used to be, you know, the number. When I was a kid, the Cushman lawnmower was what the guy that used to cut our lawn. Now, our lawn was huge, so we didn't have any way by which we could do it. I was 10 years old. I wasn't doing it. Anyway, the smell of the gasoline and the cut grass in the morning is unbelievable. Loved it. But you're not going to get that anymore because now you got to use electric motors in terms of not only driving around, but also to be able to cut the lawn, to be able to leaf blow. All of these things are cutting into the cost of your life. It costs more, therefore you can't spend as much money either on your house or on your mortgage. These are things that you really got to pay attention to, especially when you're doing the calculation of how much you can afford. Okay, Las Vegas. The visitor traffic down 4.5%. Overall travel on airlines is down about 4%. This is all pre-pandemic levels of 2019. Now, John, did you hear all the flights that got canceled last week?
Oh, yeah.
Now, why is this happening?
Well, it a lot of reasons. Mostly it's because there's not enough staff.
Is that? I know that's what they tell
they
you.
They say that. It actually is true. There's a lot of folks that have left the airlines or whatever, and they're not coming back. And therefore, and every flight that is delayed screws up the entire country.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean,
one
it really
flight
is.
Blows out about 100 flights.
Now, we've talked about the quit rate on this show many times, and there's 4.5 million people 2 months ago that just quit. Just, I'm done. I'm not working anymore. Along with that is what's also happening, and I talk about it on the show all the time, what's going on over in China and how that particular lockdown, with whether it's Shanghai or Beijing, both of these cities have been locked down for 2 months. There has been no production, no movement of goods, and how that's tying up the supply chain. Both of these items show you at how one aspect of a particular thing that goes on in a place that you wouldn't think about unless it drove your prices up, well, you have to think about it. The airlines themselves, the quit rate, and what's going on in China all combine to drive the cost of goods up to you, again, taking money out of your pocket that you would normally spend on a mortgage. Now you got to spend it on something else. How is that going to change, and what are we going to do about it? Can someone do something about it, or is this what we say in capitalism is the inevitable flaw in a democratic capitalist society? We're not China where you can just say, hey, you know what? Tough it out. Or what's going on over in Russia, where I don't know if anybody's seen or read about what's going on in there. They've just tried to kill that economy over there. And yes, there's a lot fewer goods, and most people are living a little tighter life. It's really one of those things where you have to pay attention not to get, as we started in the first part of the show, so bummed out that you can't move, but you have to be aware of what's going on so that you can make better decisions, because everybody knows fear drives the marketplace. And in the marketplace, which is really about money, if scarcity becomes something which is more common, you got to find a workaround. Although the one thing you can't find a workaround is if you need a mortgage, and mortgage rates are going up. But we've already noticed here, mortgage rates went down. They were 2 weeks ago at 4.65%. Today, they're not. They're at, 5.65. They're at 5.3%. So it's come down over a quarter point. Now, over a 30-year mortgage, that's worth almost $100,000. That's a lot of money that you're saving in interest payments just because it went down a quarter point. All because, yes, that's right, you've listened to the show, and now you're paying attention to what's going on and very well aware of what's coming out of your pocket. Okay, for a Florida-based LO accused of falsifying documents. Now, we talked about this, and we do talk about it quite a bit. We talk about fraud in the business, and the reason is because it takes away from your ability to borrow money, because fraud costs, and it costs in terms of oversight, regulation, and systems in place to be able to prevent it. All of these things are money suck, and if if a company who's lending you money has to spend money to make sure that you're not falsifying documents, it's going to cost you and everybody else more in your mortgage rate. It has to. And that's what's happening right now. And to see this pop up, this was on Housing Wire, this guy down in Florida, falsifying documents. It wasn't a guy, it was a gal. But loan officer falsifying documents, yes, it happens. And it happens when mortgage rates go up. And it happens because either the loan officer or the borrower got into trouble and were desperate for money. If you are one of these people who is desperate and you're trying to get a loan, don't turn that way, because those people are going to jail. And it happened in 2007, 8, 9. A lot of people went to jail. I knew many people who lost, you know, not only what they had, but were unaware of the debts they accumulated because of the falsified documents that their loan officer presented the lender to. You're going to get caught. It's going to happen. Don't do it. It's just a way to get. Okay, CFPB wants lenders to disclose. Now, maybe you like this. I'm of a mind that anything that causes work towards the people that are trying to help you is not a good thing, and it's only going to make your particular costs go up. CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which is, you know, headed by, you know, one of Cadre. He was the guy under Obama who started it, Elizabeth Warren's brainchild, actually, after 2009. Anyway, so the CFPB, which is this Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, has said that if you get denied a loan, now everybody knows, anybody who's gone out there and gotten a loan, or who has tried to get a loan and was denied, they get a denial letter. They go, okay, and there's a box that they check up. You didn't meet credit qualifications. You didn't, you know, have this in terms of income, whatever it is. Now, the CFPB wants a very much more detailed way by which you can be told you're not getting a loan. In my mind, if I'm lending the money and you apply for it and I don't want to lend it to you, I shouldn't have to be, you know, beholden to explain my situation. To me, that's going to open up a can whereby you're going to get lawyers involved to make sure that the explanation is in such a lawyer ease that the company will not get sued. Now, I understand you're trying to get away from bias, you're trying to get away from discrimination. I think these are all awesome goals. I think what needs to happen is more competition, not clamping down on those particular people. But the CFPB, that's what they're doing. They want to make sure that you out there are very well aware of why you didn't get your loan. So more regulation is going to bring that to forefront. It's probably going to cost you some more money. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Very glad you listened to me this week, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.